one comment I hear most when I'm talking with people on the street is, "I'm not religious." To which my reply has always been, and always will be, "Neither am I." The second comment I most often hear when asking people about their spiritual convictions is, "I don't go to church." To which my reply generally is, "Neither do I," with any regularity, that is. Tonight, I want to release you from the idea that you have to be religious to have a personal relationship with God. Or, for that matter, that you are required or will receive favor from God if you attend church. It may be presumptuous for me to say I have the authority to release you from being religious or from attending church, but if Scripture is to be the foundation for truth, then I can well say I do have authority to release you from this idea of being religious or attending church, because there is no place in Scripture where we are commanded to do so. That said, there are a few caveats to these philosophical topics which I would love to dive in deeper with you here on Midnight Harmony. I'm going to give you a few moments to get settled, put your feet up or climb into bed, set your mind at ease, and prepare your heart for God to speak just to you tonight.
Mes yeux regardent la nuit et mon cœur toujours crie vers toi. Demande à Dieu une autre fois encore la confusion plus grand que moi. Le futur dérobé. Les lumières sont pas très loin d'ici, une légende des cieux parfaits, une étoile sent vers moi. Une autre chance de vivre, une séquence pour me reste à respirer, je veux.
What is religion? The belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods. A particular system of faith and worship. a pursuit or interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance. One could say consumerism is the new religion. These are just a few definitions from the Webster's Dictionary. Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism are five of the great religions of the world. Did you know there are actually over 10,000 distinct religions worldwide? But I think it's safe to say these five are the most commonly referred to. So when someone says to me they are not religious, I surmise they are speaking in terms of one of these religions aforementioned. The question in my mind is, why did that person feel it was necessary to tell me they were not religious? I suspect it is because the religion they are referring is a misconception in their minds. There is even a new religion called the nuns, or no religion, not to be confused with nuns, N-U-N-S, of course. The nuns' religion is the second largest religion in North America and Europe. As secularism grows and atheists and agnostics are trying to expand and diversify their ranks, for the most part, I can say from experience that those expressing, "I'm not religious," are not making a statement of no religion, yet rather, they have not taken time to be bothered by such an experience. Kevin Schilbrack of the Western Carolina University writes, "The category of religion has become sprawling, overly inclusive, and unwieldy. This problem is partly because the multiple definitions of religion in play today are so various and divergent, but it is also because some of those definitions are so capacious that the term religion has lost its analytical usefulness." He continues, stating that given a pure functional definition of religion, one finds in the published work of scholars working within religion departments the term religion being used to refer to such diverse institutions as totems, Christmas cakes, nature, the value of hierarchy, vegetarianism, witchcraft, veneration of the emperor, the rights of man, supernatural technology possession, amulets, charms, the tea ceremony, ethics, ritual in general, the imperial rescript of education, the motor show, salvation, Marxism, Maoism, Freudianism, marriage, gift exchange, and so on. There is not much within culture which cannot be included as religion. Pure functional definitions dilute the concept of religion to the point of futility, considering barbecues with guitar music, soccer games, shopping in supermarkets, or art exhibitions to be religious phenomena. Everything becomes somehow or implicitly religious. We have all seen and experienced the effects Super Bowl Sunday has on churches and families, as a disparity of acumen influences masses of society, regardless of religion. In 2019, Pew Research Center posed these questions to 38,426 people in 34 countries. What is the connection between belief in God and morality? And how important are God and prayer in people's lives? Across the 34 countries, which span six continents, a median of 45% said it is necessary to believe in God to be moral and have good values. Though there were large regional variations in answers to these questions, in people's mind, the definition of religion is in the findings. It is necessary to believe in God to be moral and have good values. So then I ask you, what is the true test of religion? Shelbrook goes on to say that to understand the definition of religion, one must test its usefulness. Well, in that case, all three of our earlier definitions would need to be scrutinized herein. The belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods, a particular system of faith and worship, and a pursuit or interest to which someone ascribes supreme importance. I never asked anyone if they are religious. I have asked, do you attend church? Are you a believer? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? To which they respond, I'm not religious. They may think I'm asking, have you put to the test any superhuman, personal, godlike, supreme, important individuals as of late? That is a terrifying question and one I'm not sure I can answer myself. But what they are really hearing when I ask them a question about their faith or belief is, are you moral? And do you have good values? And it's the reason why when they say, I'm not religious, that I too can say, neither am I. What is the usefulness of God in religion? If we define religion through the testing of its usefulness, then I can think of no better way than to suggest we not discuss religion at all, but rather relationship. I'll still get the same answer if I ask someone if they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but I've already steered the conversation away from religion and into a relationship. My wife and I have traveled the whole world building relationships with people. Dynamic people, lonely people, drug addicts, gay men and women, children, suicide survivors, homeless, the rich, and even famous people. In our journeys, we have found that all walks of life have the same dilemma. No one has perfect morals and values, and everyone is in need of a relationship with someone they can trust. Now, listen carefully. This is where we start the conversation over again, and I say to you, I want to release you from the idea that you have to be religious to have a personal relationship with God. Being religious is not required. You won't find a commandment by God in the Bible to be religious. Do you know what God says about religion? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I imagine of all the good people I have encountered over the years, if I had asked them if they had served the fatherless, helped a widow in her affliction, kept themselves unspotted from the world, the answers may have been very different. If being religious isn't required of God, then what is? That is a good question, and one that deserves a lengthy answer. But in short, God desires just one thing from you initially. and that is to have a personal relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, His Son. The Bible says that if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That phrase alone has transformed countless lives and taken lost and lonely individuals from a place of empty religion into a relationship with a loving Father. That verse is in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9. Tonight, if you're saying to yourself, I'm not religious, and I don't have good morals and values, then maybe it's time to release that burden on your life and enter into a relationship with the God of the universe. All you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Scripture says, if you've done those two things, you are saved. This is where the definition of religion and religious takes a turn. If we're to define these two words by their usefulness, I can assure you, you've never found anything more useful in all the world than a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You're listening to Midnight Harmony. I'm E.W. Helmick. Midnight Harmony is a partner of the ministry Help World Tour and is made possible by your donation and support. Help World Tour is a global ministry that helps people make Jesus a part of their story. You can find more information about tent revivals, ministries around the world, and their motion picture, Take Your Dream, on their website, www.helpwt.com. Take Your Dream, the movie, is an award-winning film that has inspired people around the world. It is a story of a father and his two sons who swam Australia's longest river to inspire a nation. It's available on Amazon Prime, and again, the title is Take Your Dream. Next week, we will be talking with author and bishop Larry Ragland and discussing his book, I See Greatness in You, Unlocking Your Hidden Potential. You won't want to miss this inspiring conversation of one man's journey, everyone's potential. You can purchase the book, I See Greatness in You, on Amazon and get it instantly available on your Kindle device via Kindle. When we began our program this evening, I said there were two things I generally hear when talking with people on the street. We dove deep into the first, and I'm confident and hopeful that you found a resting place in your relationship with God instead of a religion with God. The second was the comment, I don't go to church. To which I often reply, neither do I, with any regularity, that is. Simply put, churches have fallen out of favor with the masses over the years, and a sweeping worldwide pandemic hasn't helped to restore attendance of faith in their existence. I believe the Bible is clear on the idea of corporate prayer and worship, but is not a necessary step of action for someone to know God, come to know God, or have a personal relationship with God. Yet, it seems to be the second most quipped statement when I ask people about their well-being or spiritual nature. Firstly, let me quantify my own statement that I don't go to church with any regularity. Simply put, my wife and I are often on the road traveling, out of the country or doing ministry on Sunday mornings. The name of our ministry is called Help, and I cannot tell you how many times we have found ourselves helping others on Sunday mornings. Do we go to church? Every chance we get, but not out of obligation, rather because we choose to be where God's people are. In short, what should church look like? A biblical church involves at least two people gathering together in the name of Jesus. Scripture says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." A biblical church celebrates the Lord's Supper together. A biblical church is led by qualified elders. A biblical church worships in song together. A biblical church maintains corporate holiness through church discipline. A biblical church is a place where Christians can use their spiritual gifts to bless one another. God will not love you more if you go to church. But you may find that you love God more because you find yourself in a place where your fears fade away and your heart and your soul can be nurtured alongside others. A place of great celebration where your new relationship with Jesus Christ draws you closer to God the Father and people who believe what you do. You may find it funny that I chose to briefly discuss what I believe about church, but I'm reminded of something my father-in-law used to say. The problem with churches is there are people in them. We can be a people of indiscreet morals, shallow values, pride, gossip, in short, sin. Church allows us to be in a place where people exist. These people are God's children, and their sins aside, He loves them just as much as He loves you. I'm not religious. I don't go to church. Don't let these ideas, the untruth behind their articulate mention, be the reason you don't know God. He knows you, whether you want to be known or not. I understand you may not want to share your feelings with someone like me who walks up to you on the street and engages you in conversation. God already knows what you are thinking. He knows you're not religious, and He knows you may not attend church, and He isn't affected by either one. Tonight, take a moment and talk to God. You can tell Him your objection to religion, church, and life in general. He will listen to you. I know that for a fact. And do you know how I know? Because He can't ignore you if you're talking, and He can't wait to be part of the conversation. It's a conversation between you and God. So I'm going to slip out and send up a short prayer that your heart will be deeply impacted and at peace as you talk with the God of the universe, the God of heaven and earth. A blessed good night.